Hello, brothers and sisters. Hope you guys are having a good week. I know there's a lot of, well, you could say it's everybody's at home. A lot of people are at home, or should be at home anyway. During this time of reflection, I believe the Lord has given us opportunity to draw nearer to Him if we will open our hearts to Him and our minds to Him. Some will, I fear most won't, but that's God's. God knows that He knows the beginning to the end. My heart does stay burdened a lot when I look around and see the unrepentant behavior all about. But everything's working out. God's got it. It's all in His hands. He's going to give everybody opportunity to seek Him, but most won't. As we approach this weekend is a time of our nation as America. We've set this weekend as to honor and to memorize and to honor Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that He did for each and every one of us. The time frame of the crucifixion, and of course what we have called in America, and I'll call this term, well, everything I have in my body is, we call it Good Friday. There's nothing good about it, but Friday in the time frame, and I'm not going to get into the time frame of this, I just want to just go to scripture. And as every day that we wake up, our hearts should not forget, and we should be reminded constantly of the cost that God gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross for us. And whatever time frame that may fall in, and we've chose to, as America, to recognize this, and it's very commercial now, commercialized, not too commercialized now because of coronavirus, but we can really get back to the heart, what it means. And what I'm going to do today is I want to read through Luke 23 and 1 through 56 and Luke 24 1 through 9. This is the, and I really didn't write anything out specifically for this. Just I was going to read the scriptures and just let the Lord lead me on talking about this. And we may just read the scripture and that'll be enough. Because the scripture is enough. The word of God is precious. We should lean on. I'll call this the love letter. Not the love that this world has distorted, but a love, agape love, that is a sacrificing love, a love that cost Him everything, because he loved us that much. He wrote this love letter in blood, the blood that was poured on Calvary for each and every one of us. It's the greatest love story ever written. And for every one of His children, He's coming back soon. And very soon, I believe. Now, as we look at Luke 23. I'm going to start in verse 1. That's Luke 23. Verse 1. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "Thou sayest it." Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." And they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirred up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place." And when Pilate heard of the Galilean, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod, jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him. And he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in my own words, in many words. But he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his man of war, set him at naught, and mocked him, and arranged him in gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enemy between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, "Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverts the people. And I, behold, I have examined him before you, and have found no fault in this man, teaching those things thereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I send you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him, and release him. For a necessity he must be released one unto them at the feast." And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release us the Barabbas. Who for certain sedition made in the city for murdering was cast into prison. And Pilate, therefore willing to release Jesus, spoke again to them. But they cried, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And he said unto them the third time, "Why? What evil have he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chasten him and let him go." And there were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they led hold on to Simon of Cyrus, Crithian, I believe that's coming out of the country. Crimean, I believe, coming out of the country. And on him they lay the cross, he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people, of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus turned unto him and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the pups which never suck.' Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there was also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucify him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they part his raiment, and they cast lots. And the people stood beholding, rulers also with them, drain with him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, calling to him, offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hung railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, Do not thou fear God, seeing thou art the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man have done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me that come up to thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shall thou be with me in paradise. It was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus has cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I command my spirit. Having said this, he gave up the ghost. And now when the centurion saw that was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned, and all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. Behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor. He was a good man and a just. And the same had not consent to the counsel and deed of them. He was Armenia, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. And this man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in a stone, wherein never man before was laid. And the day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came unto him from Galilee followed after, and behold the sepulcher, and how the body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices, ointment, and rest the seventh day, according to the commandments. Now to the first day of the week, and we're in chapter 24 now, and we're going to read from 1 through 9 here. Now until the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain other with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they enter in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, they bowed down their faces to the earth, and they said unto him, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must deliver into the hands of a sinful man, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remember his words. And they return from the sepulchre, and hold all these things until the leaven, and to all the rest. You guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, as we just come today, Lord, thanking you for another opportunity just to dig into your word. to grab comfort from your word, to lean on your word, knowing that we can't do nothing. It's Christ in us, the Holy Spirit that resides in His children. The strength that we're given is not ours. It's through the Holy Spirit. It will guide and will direct our steps if we just get out of the way. Let us kill our flesh. Let's walk in the Spirit. Heavenly Father, we just reflect on this weekend, as we should every day, on the crucifixion, the resurrection, and what is to come. I pray, Lord, that who's out there is needing to hear this message, that they open their hearts to You. If there's just one that listens to this, Lord, and truly accepts Jesus into their heart, receives and become new, I praise You and not me. I'm just a humble vessel. I am nothing without You. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this opportunity. And whoever's out there is going to listen to this, Lord. Pray all this in Your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. You know, we look at Luke 23 all the way here to 24. And this is a story, or this is a historical story. This is accurate of what happened to Jesus. You see, Jesus was prophesied in the Old Testament. The Old Testament points to Jesus, the Lamb, the unblemished Lamb that comes before the world. And He had to live this life. And He had to be crucified. We look at the crucifixion, how brutal it is. And it still would be. Some countries, they're still crucifying people. So we could say crucifixion is brutal. Crucifixion is probably one of the most horrible ways to die. I don't know if you guys look up what crucifixion is. And there's several, I guess, the Passion of the Christ. There's things about it that's not, you know, correct. But one thing is, at last bit of that movie, when you're watching the stuff that Jesus went through, the torture, the scourging was, it was, they would take this whip, I guess you would call it a whip, and they, within the leather straps, they would put bones, shards of glass, all kind of rigging, and they would tie a person up to a post. And they would take that whip and whip them. And what would happen is the whip would hit the flesh. And when it got caught, it ripped the flesh. There's, if you look at the scourging, and we say scourging here, that's what they're talking about in the scripture when they said chest. They pile it. Let me look here. He said accusing them. Basically, they chastened him. That was scourging. And the scourging alone killed many people, if you look at the history of it. People, when they were getting scourged, would turn on their belly side, and the whip would catch their stomach and would actually rip their intestines out. The scourging alone would have killed Jesus. He was in immense pain. On top of that, just the ridicule, the hate. And when they were just ridiculing Him all the way up to the Calvary, He was already in immense pain. He was already suffering tremendous. And they got Him on Mount Calvary. And they nailed His hands, His right and left hand, with a spike that is probably we could say was anywhere from 3 to 4 to 5 inches long. You can look at a railroad spike that they stake the railroad tracks with, if you've ever seen one. It's about that size. And they nailed his hands to the cross. Or it depends how you want to look at it. The nails of the wrist, but regardless, the pain that he was in with the nailing of the nail in his hands, it was brutal. And then they nailed his feet. And then they rose him up on that cross. Immense pain. More pain than anybody will experience on this earth. It tears my heart up. I think about it constantly and it breaks me down. What did he do, or what did he do to deserve such torture, such pain? You see, there was nothing at his charge. He had to come. Because if we look back in Genesis, when God created this world, and he told Adam and Eve that they were supposed to tend the garden in the Garden of Eden. And they were supposed to just tend the garden and have children. But they were not supposed to eat of a tree. A disobedience to the word of God. God spoke a word. Adam and Eve decided to rebel against that. And that's what brought the sin into this world. I know it's sad when I look at the landscape of Christianity and how it doesn't really represent true Christianity. People don't want to talk about sin, but we are sinful in nature. We sinned at the very beginning, and we're sinful now. For the wages of sin is death, guys. And there ain't no doubt. That's a spiritual death. Jesus had to come. And when Jesus came and died on that cross, he is sitting. And it started all the way from the Garden of Eden, from the first sacrifice, when he had to kill the animals to clothe Adam and Eve. And then the sacrificial system that you see in the Old Testament. Jesus, now we don't have to have offerings, physical offerings of lamb over an altar. We can come right where we're at. Right where we're at right now. With our hearts in our hands, in our minds, on the one true God. And to recognize what he done for us. He sent his son. So his only begotten son. So he would die on that cross. And the blood that was shed was for us. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that covers a multitude of sins. When he died on that cross, he was saying, this is now the new covenant. We can come as we are. God knows it all. And we can lay everything at the cross. It's the blood. It was because of us that he died. We stand guilty. He was guiltless. And they took him down from that cross. And they buried him. Or they placed him. Not buried, but really placed him in the tomb. And the stone was rolled in place and locked in place and sealed. And Jesus on that third day rose. And he was seen by many. Fully restored. Other than his nail scar hands, pierced side. And when we recognize the crucifixion, when we recognize the resurrection, and we say, Jesus, why did you do that for me? He says he loves you. He loves us. He loves this world. Even when he was on the cross. Even when he was on the cross. He tells us. In chapter 23. He tells us. It's chapter 23. And. But I was trying to. Oh yeah, Luke 23, verse 34. He says, "And said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Even up on the cross, he held no anger toward us. It's amazing, right? We have a Father that loves us that much, and we can come to Him with our hearts in our hands. This is a time for us to reflect on that, as we should every day. But as this weekend comes about, and you will hear many sermons on this, I ain't going to sugarcoat it for you guys. You'll probably miss the true message of salvation. When we receive Jesus into our life. Truly receive Jesus into our life. You see, the Holy Spirit comes in. And we are supposed to become new. Not old. All old things are passed away. Our life should be a reflection of Jesus. What you're seeing today is people are saying, I believe Jesus, I accept Jesus, but they don't accept and believe and confess the cost that comes with it. They want a salvation. That's just exactly what this is, salvation. That is the death, the resurrection, and the new and old regeneration. Titus puts it this way. Titus 3:4, 1-8 tells us, "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, now by works of righteousness which we have not done." Not by works of righteousness that we've done. But according to his mercy, he saved us by washing of the regeneration. When he speaks regeneration, this is what he's talking about, regeneration. The old self is no longer the new self. And a renewing of the Holy Spirit. If you look at John 3, he speaks of the born again. That's what he's talking about. You're born again. You're no longer the same. Which he shed upon us, verse 6, which he has shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And he's talking here of the crucifixion and being in the resurrection, being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of the eternal life. This is a faithful saying, that these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that which I believe in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto man. If we look at Titus 3:4-1:8, it tells us, well, it's not anything, it's because of His righteousness, not ours. Our righteousness is filthy rags to a holy God. But according to His mercy, and we will look at mercy, that is the things that Jesus took on Himself. We deserve that. But He said, no, I'm taking that on myself. You do not have to subject yourself through that pain. And by the washing of His blood, a regeneration in your heart, your soul, your mind, and renewing of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit that comes inside you. I'm telling you, no regeneration. If you choose not to accept the cost that is of your salvation, there is no renewing. There is no regeneration. There is no washing of the blood. You are what I call today a professing Christian that do not, you truly have not accept Jesus into your heart because you choose not to repent of your old ways and to walk a path that is holy and righteous to a God. You choose to blend into the world. And this doesn't grieve your spirit. You're looking just like the world. There is no regeneration. There is no renewal. This is not my words. These are Jesus' words. He said, you are not mine. You are not mine. You will probably not hear that among the services that you will receive on Sunday, about a regeneration, a repentance. When you regenerate, you are no longer your new. You are no longer your old self, you are new. And when the Holy Spirit comes in you, it corrects you, it guides you, it directs you. That's how you know you are a child of God. You will not be able to live in your sin and be happy. You will be miserable to a point of death. I know through my own life I was miserable. I even tried to kill myself. How miserable I was. When you say I do, the Holy Spirit, and truly, and the Holy Spirit comes in your life, you are now becoming a disciple. There is no option in discipleship. Some will say, oh, you can accept Jesus in your heart and then you don't have to become a disciple. That is against the Bible. That is against the Word of God. He tells us we become His disciple. He says those that look back, they are not worthy for the kingdom of God, meaning they are not mine. When our lives reflect this world more than it does Jesus, we have to examine ourselves and see through the Scripture if we are really His. I'm not here to tell you if you're not or you are. You go through the Scripture and you tear the Scripture apart and you have a desire to say, this is how I know I'm a child of God. The problem is, the Bible is laying in most people's offices or their homes, and there is collecting dust, and they don't want to tear the Scriptures out because they don't want to realize their life is not a reflection of a true living God. There is no regeneration in their lives. None. But you got pastors, evangelists, Bible teachers telling it's okay. Well, guess what? Whoever's teaching this lie, their blood is on. The blood will be on their hands. But in the end, you will have to face a true and living God and account for everything you have done. If you're lost or you're a professing Christian, and you truly haven't given your heart over to God, you will face a different judgment. Those that are His, we will face a different judgment. That's all scripture there. There's what we call the great white throne of judgment. That's where all the lost will. And the judgment seat where we will be. You can go and look those terms up, and it'll show you in scripture. That's all scripture, guys. The mercy that is sparing us from the things that we deserve. That grace is giving us the things. Giving us things we do not deserve. And that grace is beautiful. That grace and mercy is wrapped in salvation. If we look at Ephesians here, and I didn't really have any an outline for this. I'm just going as the Holy Spirit guides and directs me. So bear with me. The Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. I'll get there. That's Ephesians 2. I know it's Ephesians 2, 8. It tells us... Oh, here it is. Ephesians 2... Let's say Ephesians 2, 8, 7. And let's read down to 10. And the age to come, He might shew the exceeding riches of His grace is His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, until good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Here we see, by grace is the grace that you are saved through faith. If we look at faith, if you go to Hebrews 11:1, it tells us faith. It gives us the definition of faith. And going off of memory, actually, let's not go off of memory. Hebrews 11:1. Let's see. Tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That is Jesus Christ, guys. He is our hope. The faith is the substance of things hoped for, that is Jesus. And the evidence of things not seen, that is Jesus. We have to believe that Jesus on that cross, through the grace and mercy that was provided, He did that for us. And we have to believe that and accept that. And we take it up farther that this part is left off. We have to realize our old ways are no longer. And we now have a new nature that is a nature of Christ to follow the Word of God. And yes, we will fall with, you know, we will have our ups and downs. But the thing is, repentance. God gives us repentance as a turning away. When we mess up, we can go right now where we're at and pray for forgiveness. And He will forgive us because He's a true and faithful God. And He tells us in His scriptures He will forgive us. And He don't lie. Jesus cannot lie. If you're there today and you realize you have not been living a life that is pleasing to Jesus. You have not heard a message like this where your old self and new, you've just been told a lie that it stops there and you can live wherever the way you want to live. I'm here to tell you, you can't. The Holy Spirit, if you are a child of God, will correct you and will guide you and will direct you. And when we're walking in this world, there is a cost, because Jesus tells us we have to count the cost. Salvation, yes, is free. The cost, you will be, the walk that you walk with Jesus, especially in the times headed to us, will cost you. But I want to tell you, the cost isn't nothing compared to what is waiting for us. And that's the other part of salvation, is He's coming back. He's coming back soon. And all the cost that we will have in this life does not even compare to the glory and the pleasure that is waiting for His children in heaven. You cannot have your heaven on this earth and have your heaven in the next life. It don't work that way. Many will tell you that, and that's a lie. It goes contrary to the gospel of Jesus. And when I say heaven on this earth, I'm talking about a prosperity gospel, a material things. You can have your car, you can have your nice house, and you can just sit there and whore that to yourself. And let the devil lie to you and blind you, saying, oh, you're still a Christian. God blessed you with this. Now you don't need to do nothing except worship that instead. If God it blesses you with a house, a big house, He's expecting you to use that in His glory and His honor. If you have a big house, you should be doing Bible studies or doing something that's glorifying God. You can even have what they call house church on Fridays. But you choose not to. And then when somebody approaches you, you're like, oh, I'll give it all up for Jesus. You are in denial. You are in living a lie. You can't even give your house up to a Bible study. How are you going to give it all up? And that's just one example, guys. In closing, I just wanted to say, as this weekend rolls around, and you will hear many sermons on the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, and how the tomb was empty, and it is empty. And Jesus is on the throne. And He left us the Holy Spirit to reside in each and every one of His true followers, to help us and guide us and direct us, because we can't do it on our own. I want you guys to reflect on your life. Are you truly, truly all in? Have you truly believed and have said, I count the cost, whatever it costs, and you get on your knees and you pray, God, let me be your hands, let me be your feet, guide me and direct me in the path that you need me to go? We have to die daily. We have to be truly regenerated. We truly have to be repentant of our sin on a daily. We are sinful. Because of the flesh, we have to die daily. Paul says that. We have to crucify our flesh, not because we can do it, because the Holy Spirit that lives inside us, Jesus, can do that. We cannot do nothing on our own. It's the Holy Spirit. A lot of people want to say, I can do this, I can do that. We can do nothing. It's only through the Holy Spirit that allows us to do things. I love you guys, and I hope you guys have a great weekend. Remember, Jesus loves you. I love you. On my website here, you can send me messages. If you need me to add you to my prayer list, I'll add you guys to that and pray. I pray over it. Love you guys. Hope you guys have a good weekend. Bye.